Good afternoon, everyone. So in Parshas B'shalach, the Torah describes the man that Bnei Yisrael received in the Midbar. And the Pasuk says as follows, Vayomer Moshe echluhu hayom, ki shabas hayom Hashem, hayom lo simtza'uhu basadeh. Moshe told the nation that they should eat eat the man on Shabbos, because the day was Shabbos, so they wouldn't find any more in the field. Meaning to say that Klal Yisrael didn't collect any of the man on Shabbos. They collected it in advance, and then they only consumed it on Shabbos. So from this pasuk, which repeats the word hayom three times, Echluhu hayom, ki Shabbos hayom, hayom lo simtza'uhu basadeh. So the Gemara on Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis derives from that repetition of hayom three times the number of meals that one must have on Shabbos. And the Gemara says that according to the Tanakhama, we derive that there is an obligation to have three meals, whereas according to Rabbi Chidka, there's an obligation to have four meals. The Nekudas HaMachlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Chidka is whether we begin counting from the nighttime or whether we begin counting from the daytime. Meaning, according to Rabbi Chidka, we don't count the night meals. The three hayoms correspond to the three day meals, and when you take one plus three, you get four. Whereas according to the Tanakhama, the three hayoms correspond to both the night and the day, meaning to say that there are three meals in total, one at night and two during the day. Of course, we paskin, like the Tanakhama, that there's an obligation to have three meals on Shabbos. So let's just begin with a couple of just basic notes about this mitzvah, and then we're going to discuss the nature and the mechayiv, the basis for obligation, in particular for the third meal of the day, for Suda Shlishis. But with respect to just the mitzvah to have three meals on Shabbos, so is this a mitzvah de oraisa or a mitzvah de rabbanan? What is its jurisdictive status? So the Levush has a striking opinion that actually this mitzvah is a mitzvah de oraisa. After all, the Gemara in Shabbos derives it from a pasuk in this week's parasha, so maybe we should believe that it's a mitzvah de oraisa. However, according to many, many other poskim, according to most poskim, says the Bir Halacha, and included within them are the Maharil and the Prima Gadim. So this mitzvah is only a mitzvah de Rabbanan. There's a mitzvah de Rabbanan to have three meals on Shabbos, and the pasuk is really meant only as an aspachta. In what category of mitzvos hayom should we characterize this mitzvah of having three meals on Shabbos? So the Magen Mishnah on Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Lamed Halacha Tes comments that this is a fulfillment of Oneg Shabbos. We know that there is a requirement to have Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos, and part of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos is having three meals on Shabbos. Who is obligated in the mitzvah of Gimel Su'udos of having three meals? So the Rishonim make it very clear that both men and women are obligated in this mitzvah of having three meals on Shabbos, even though we might have thought that this is a mitzvah haseisha hazman grama. Nonetheless, explain the Rishonim that we don't follow that rule in this case, and that's because the source for the mitzvah comes from the Yeridas Haman. And Rabbeinu Tam explains that both men and women experience the nes of Yeridas Haman, and therefore both of them should be included in the mitzvah. The Shibolei Halakhet explains that when Moshe told the nation, Ichluhu Hayom, he addressed that command both to men and to women. So based on the story from the man, we conclude that both men and women are obligated in the Gimel Su'udos Hayom, in the three meals of Shabbos. So those are some basic points about the mitzvah. But let's focus on, for the majority of our Chabura, on the following three questions. Number one, let's focus in particular on the third meal, on Su'uda Shlishis. What's the reason to have a third Su'uda on Shabbos? And what's the mechayiv of that Su'uda? What's the basis for the obligation to have a third Su'uda on Shabbos? What's the relationship between all three of the meals, and in particular between the third meal and the first two meals? And if there exists some distinct mechayiv, some distinct basis for having a third meal from the basis for having the first two meals, so then what are going to be the ramifications of that distinct mechayiv for the third meal? So let's begin with the reason for Su'uda Shlishis. The Shulchan Aruch in Nasimin Reish Tzadi Aleph in Orach Haim begins by saying that Yehei Adam Zahir Ma'od, a person should be very careful to eat a third meal on Shabbos. And in the Sefer Machzik Bracha, so he explains that the reason why the Shulchan Aruch says that one should be very, very careful to have a third meal on Shabbos is because Su'uda Shlishis makes Kavod Shabbos recognizable. It basically recasts the first two Su'udos as having had the purpose of Kavod Shabbos. And that means as follows. During the week, every day we have at least in previous times, There was the practice to have two meals, one in the morning and one in the afternoon hours. There was a practice to have two meals every single day. So if we had two meals on Shabbos, then it wouldn't be recognizable that we're treating Shabbos differently from the way we treat the rest of the week. And therefore, we add a third meal to Shabbos in order to recast and recharacterize those first two seudos, and in order to say that those two seudos that we had in the morning or at night were not just ones that we would have had normally during the week, but were actually for the purpose of kavod ve'oneg Shabbos. And that being the case, so Seudah Shlishis emerges as what we would call an additional meal. And the question really is whether it retains that character of being just like an extra additional meal, such that we might describe in total the three meals of Shabbos as two plus one. There are the two main seudos that we have to have, the same way that we have those seudos during the rest of the week. So we formulate them as an obligation on Shabbos. And then there's a plus one. There's an additional extra meal that we have on Shabbos that's meant to characterize or contribute to the way that we view the other meals. That would be one way of looking at the third meal of Seudah Shlishis. Or we could formalize it as a third part of a tripartite, a three-part Seudo Shabbos. And that means to say that on Shabbos, whereas during the rest of the week we have two meals, on Shabbos we have three meals. There are three Seudos of Shabbos. So the two ways to look at Seudah Shlishis would be, on the one hand, to look at it just as an additional meal, a two plus one. Really, it's just like in a plus one on top of, it's an icing on the cake on top of the first two. Or we should view Seudah Shlishis as the third rung, the third prong of a three-part Seudah Shabbos. And if that's the case, then it's not something additional. It's just one element of a three-pronged chiyuv. So what are going to be the nafka mina between these two views? So let's try to hone in, or try to really make more precise these two views through a very interesting question, via the lens of a very interesting question. And that's as follows. Is having bread ma'akev for Seudah Shlishis? Does one have to have bread in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of having a third meal on Shabbos? So according to some of the Rishonim, the answer is absolutely yes. There is no way to fulfill Seudah Shlishis without having bread. That's what is implied by Tosfos and Maseches Sukkah and Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. And it's also implied by the Rambam in his presentation of the three meals of Shabbos in Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos. So according to those Rishonim, you have to have bread for Seudah Shlishis, just as you have to have bread for the other two meals of Shabbos. But according to other Rishonim, that's not the case. According to other Rishonim, you might even be able to fulfill the third meal of Shabbos without having bread. And that's either for one of two reasons. One reason, what might be, and this seems to be the case in the Yesh Omrim in the Ramban, in Masechet Shabbos, that maybe for all of the meals of Shabbos you don't really have to have bread. Maybe for all meals of Shabbos you can have less than bread in order to fulfill the Seudah. Of course, we don't hold that way, but according to some Rishonim, that might be the case. But there's also another opinion, and that's a Yesh Omrim in the Ritva in Masechet Shabbos, that it is specifically, particularly for the third meal, that you would not have to have bread. For the first two meals, everyone agrees you have to have bread. For the third meal, says this Yesh Omrim, you could get away with get away with less. You can fulfill the mitzvah even without bread. So let's focus in on that second opinion. If it's the case that specifically for the third meal you don't have to have bread, then why would that be the case? Meaning to say that we have a machlokas before us. We have, according to some Rishonim, Tosos, and the Rambam, that you have to have bread for all three meals. If you don't have bread for the third meal, you're not yotze at all. Whereas according to this Yash Omrim in the Ritva, you have to have bread for the first two meals, but you don't have to have bread for the third meal. At least it's not ma'akev. L'chatchila you should, but b'di'eved, if you don't, you're going to be yotze. So what's the nekudas ha-machlokas between these Rishonim? So the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Vosner, in Chelek Aleph, Simen Nun Zayin, his Tshuvos, has a very interesting explanation. He says that according to this Yesh Omrim in the Ritva, according to the position that Seudah Shlishis does not require bread, even b'di'eved, meaning that b'di'eved you could be yotzei with other foods. So the way to look at the third meal would be to perceive it as a hosafa, as something that's additional, it's extra, it's two plus one. And that means to say that essentially, because of Kedusha Shabbos, so we transform the two everyday meals that we have, by formalizing them and concretizing them as two seudos of Shabbos. And then we also have an additional meal. We have a plus one. So the first two meals are the mitzvah of seudos hayom. You have a mitzvah to have meals on Shabbos. That includes the first two meals of the day. And then you have another mitzvah, a very related mitzvah, called Seuda Shlishis, which is a mitzvah to add to the two meals of Shabbos. And that expresses the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos. Because during the week, we wouldn't necessarily have three meals, we would only have two meals. So on Shabbos, we add a third meal, we have an additional meal, in order to express, in order to highlight the uniqueness of Shabbos. But from that perspective, Seuda Shlishis emerges as a Hosafa, as something additional. It's two plus one. And that being the case, it's not going to play by the same rules as the first two meals of the day. The first two meals of the day are bona fide su'udos. As a su'uda, it needs to have bread. The third meal of the day is meant as an addition, something extra, something as like an icing on the cake, something on top of those first two meals. And that being the case, you could get away with less. You don't have to have bread in order to make that hosafa. You have to have some other food, mine tagima. And the Rishonim debate what mine tagima means, whether that means mizonos, whether that means meat, whether that means even fruit. But be it as it may, you could get away with less. But according to the Rambam and Tosfos and Maseches Sukkah, that you wouldn't even be yotze the third meal if you had something other than bread. So from that perspective, we might argue that Seuda Shlishis has the exact same character as the first two Seudos. And that's to say that the Gimel Seudos of Shabbos are basically a tripartite chiyuv. There are three prongs to the chiyuv of Seuda on Shabbos. There's a chiyuv Seuda that expresses it, that has three elements to it. And all three elements play by the same rules. So you have to have three su'udos on Shabbos. Not being the case, there shouldn't be any differences between the three su'udos. And just as you have to have bread for the first two, so too you're going to have bread for the third. The one nafkamina, one practical consequence between viewing su'uda shlishis as an additional meal, something, a two plus one, something extra, versus viewing it as just the third prong of a three-part chiyuv of su'uda shamis, is going to be whether, is going to express itself in the substance of food that you have to have during the third meal. Can you have mini targima? That would be the case if it's an additional meal. Or would you have to have bread, and even bidi evid, you wouldn't be yotze without bread? That would be the case if we view the third meal as just the third element of a three-part chiyuv of Seuda Shabbos. So let's now delve into some other practical consequences and distinctions between viewing Seuda Shlishis one way or the other, viewing it as something additional or viewing it just as a third element of the three-part chiyuv of Seuda Shabbos. So another possible nafkamina would be whether you have to have lechem mishnah for the third meal on Shabbos. So the background to this question is that on Shabbos, Klal Yisrael had two omer of man, and we have a tradition that two omer would constitute four loaves of bread, and these four loaves would basically be distributed from one for Erev Shabbos, one for Leil Shabbos, one for Yom Shabbos, and then one for the afternoon of Shabbos for Seuda Shlishis. And so from that historical background, it seems that there wouldn't be two loaves left over by the time of Seuda Shlishis. So that leads the Shibolei Haleka to say that for Seuda Shlishis, you don't have to have two loaves, you only have to have one loaf. But the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Lamed, where he presents all the dinim of Seuda Shabbos, he's very clear that you do have to have lechem mishnah, you do have to have two loaves for Seuda Shlishis. So what's the nekudas hamachlokas as to whether you have to have lechem mishnah for Seuda Shlishis or not? So according to the Shibolei Haleka, you don't have to have two loaves, you can have one loaf. So you could explain that in one of two ways. One way is to say that it's just like Gzeiras HaKasuv. We just gave all of the historical background. The whole chiyuv for Seuda Shabbos in general stems from the Yeridas Haman. And if it was the case that in Zman HaMidbar that they only had one loaf by the time that they arrived at Seuda Shlishis, so then so too when we formulate the dinim of Seuda Shabbos, you only have to have one loaf for Seuda Shlishis. But it might also be that this is not just the Gzeiras HaKasuv, but that this expresses the character of Seuda Shlishis, and that Seuda Shlishis differs from the character of the first two Seudos. So we might say that for a bona fide Suda Shabbos, and that being that referring to the first two Su'udos of Shabbos, there would be a Chiyuv of Lechem Mishneh. But for Suda Shlishis, which is just something extra, which is something on top of the first two Su'udos, so even if we might prefer there to be bread, we're not going to insist on there being Lechem Mishneh, because Lechem Mishneh is going to be a Chiyuv that accompanies a bona fide Su'uda, but not an additional extra Su'uda, not the plus one. But according to the Rambam, that we do require Lechem Mishneh for Suda Shlishis, so that would be Lishitaso, that all three Su'udos of Shabbos are just three elements of one Chiyuv, and they all have the same exact character. So if I require Lechem Mishneh for one Suda, I'm going to require it for all Su'udos. And since I require Lechem Mishneh for the first two Su'udos, I certainly will require it for the second Su'uda as well. It could also be the case that Lechem Mishneh is not even tied to the Chiyuv Su'udah, but it's actually an obligation for any Su'udah that you have on Shabbos. And this is the opinion of the Gaonim. The Gaonim believed that whenever you had a meal on Shabbos, you should have Lechem Mishneh. If that's the case, then it's not really indicative of for our question as to the nature of Su'udah Shlishis and whether it's something additional and extra, or whether it's just the third element of a three-part Chiyuv of Su'udah Shabbos. Another interesting practical consequence between these two views of Suda Shlishis would be the timing of the Suda. When does Suda Shlishis have to transpire? So the background here is that the Braisa says that the Braisa discusses how many meals can be saved from a fire on Shabbos. If you have a fire and you want to save food, how many meals can you save? So it talks about the meals that you can save in terms of three time periods on Shabbos. Leil Shabbos, the nighttime of Shabbos, Shacharis, the morning of Shabbos, and Mincha, the afternoon of Shabbos. And that dividing up of the time periods of Shabbos suggests on its surface that the third meal has to take place during the afternoon of Shabbos. It has to take place from Zman HaMincha Ulemala. So what are the positions in Rishonim as to when a Suda Shlishis takes place? So some Rishonim, including Tosfos and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins this way as well, derive from that Braisa and other indications in the Gemara as well, that it is the case that Suda Shlishis has to take place min ha-mincha ulamala. It has to be from Mincha Gedola and on. It should not be it should not be prior to Zman HaMincha. However, there is an opinion of the Behag that Suda Shlishis could be eaten even during Shacharis. It doesn't have to be specifically Min HaMincha Ulamala. It just has to be a third meal. So it could be even during the morning hours. So what's the Nekudas HaMachlokas between these Rishonim? So according to the Behag, so you can have the third meal even during the morning hours. Why? Because the whole purpose of having Suda Shlishis is just to have an extra meal. So you can have that extra meal whenever you want, as long as it's a plus one. You've had your first two meals, now you want to have an extra meal, so have that extra meal whenever you want. Even during Shacharis, you could have the extra meal. And the Behag even says that you could have a prolonged morning Su'uda and pause the Su'uda in the middle, cover the table, bench, and then restart another Suda that counts for Suda Shlishis. Because after all, what's suggested by that opinion is that the nature of Suda Shabbat, of Suda Shlishis, is that it's a plus one. It's something in addition to the first two meals of Shabbos, something that's meant to recap the earlier two meals of Shabbos, but not really, doesn't really carry the same character that the first two meals do. But according to the other Rishonim, and especially the Rambam, that the third meal has to be had specifically during the afternoon hours, min ha-mincha ulamala. So the idea is that there is a three-element chiyuv of Suda Shabbos. The Suda Shabbos expresses itself in three meals, and each of those meals has to have its own time period. So the first meal is the nighttime meal, the second meal is the morning meal, and the third meal is the afternoon meal. Since Suda Shlishis, just like the first two Su'udos, is just another prong of that three-part chiyuv, and each part of that three-part chiyuv has a different timing. So Suda Shlishis has to have a very specific timing, and that timing is the afternoon hours, min ha-mincha ulemala. So what emerges from our discussion in terms of the nature of Suda Shlishis and its relationship to the first two meals is really kind of, is really an attitude towards Suda Shlishis in general, and that's based on both approaches. Number one, they approach the Suda Shlishis just as an extra Suda, as something on top of the first two Suudos, really reflects our attitude towards Suda Shabbos as a Kiyum Bayom, as a reflection that the food that we prepare and eat on Shabbos is meant to bring honor to the day of Shabbos. It's meant to express Kavod Shabbos, that the food that we have on Shabbos and the meals that we have on Shabbos are not the same that we have during the week. We're not only eating in order to sustain ourselves, but we are having meals on Shabbos in order to bring honor to Shabbos. The Abu Dhram actually adds that by having three meals on Shabbos, so we actually ensure that we don't indulge ourselves during any of the meals. And thereby we allow ourselves to engage in the more spiritual aspects of Shabbos, like Talmud Torah. And so too, the other approach to Suda Shlishis is viewing it as part of the just part of the three element, three-pronged chiyuv of Suda Shabbos. So that reflects that Shabbos is supposed to be experienced almost in three different realms of time. The Tur has this idea as well with respect to the three tefillos of Shabbos. And he says that we have a different tefillah for nighttime, for daytime, and for the afternoon in order to reflect that there are three time periods of Shabbos, and each one needs to be experienced in its own uniqueness. And that being the case, we have its own tefillah, and we also have its own suda, such that we experience Shabbos as a holistic Shabbos, all in one, but we also experience Shabbos as part of different timings, as part of the nighttime, the morning time, and the afternoon. I wish everyone a great rest of the week and a good Shabbos.